धन्यवाद अभिषेक. थैंक यू अभिषेक. एंड डियर लिसनर्स, साई राम फ्रॉम प्रशांतनलम, द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस ऑन द प्लैनेट. द मंथ ऑफ मार्च इन दिस डिवाइन हैमलेट हैज सीन सो मच ऑफ आउटपोरिंग ऑफ लव एंड ग्रेटिट्यूड फ्रॉम द डिवोटीज एंड एस्पेशली द स्टूडेंट्स. दिस इज द लास्ट मंथ ऑफ द एकेडमिक कैलेंडर. And you have students from every campus and every academic program, mainly the final year students in the undergraduate and postgraduate classes, taking this opportunity to offer their heartfelt gratitude to Swami. And each of these sessions, dear listeners, is so moving. The way Bhagwan touches every heart is simply unfathomable. I remember one instance which happened many years ago in the Prashanti Mandir. Swami wanted one student to speak and he was very scared and reluctant. So this interaction went on wherein Swami was coaxing him and this boy was not relenting. This was going on and on for almost 15-20 minutes, and then suddenly the music of flute began to emerge from the public address system. In those days, for 15 minutes before bhajans, there used to be an instrumental recital. It was flute for many years, and later it was veena and also sitar for some time. So exactly at this point, when Bhagwan was trying to convince him to speak, the flute started. And incidentally, Swami was standing right below the speaker. So what Swami did is this. He immediately pointed to the speaker and told the boy, "What is that?" The boy said, "Swami, it's a speaker." Swami asked him, "Tell me, from where is the music coming from?" Then the boy pointed towards the bhajan hall and said, "Swami, from inside." And then Bhagwan said, "See, that is the speaker, but the sound is coming from that instrument, but it is actually coming from inside." And then Swami went on to say, "You just be like the speaker. The sound will come from inside." And that boy not only spoke brilliantly on that occasion, but turned out to be one of the most active students in extracurricular activities. No one could believe that it was the same student. From being a dull mind, he had become a dynamite, depending fully on the might of the Almighty and scaling easily new heights. The way the Master touches and transforms is simply fantabulous. And this saga is on even now. And a demonstration of this, of how it is happening even now, is what we heard and saw during the students' gratitude programs in this beautiful month of March, as we march on singing His name, glorifying His work. And even as these gratitude programs were going on, the festival of Shivaratri came and it was celebrated. And what an occasion of serenity and sublimity it was. The hall was full and fully recharged with spiritual vibrations, reverberating with soulful singing. Instead of describing how enriching and uplifting it was, maybe I should give you a glimpse of the feel of being in Prashantinilam, immersed in Akhanda Bhajan.
Aruna chala Shiva, Aruna chala Shiva, Aruna chala Shiva, Aruna Shiva. Aruna Shiva, Aruna Shiva, Aruna Shiva.
So that was a glimpse of the Akhand Bhajan during Shivaratri 2013. Bhajans have been so much a part of ashram life. In fact, it is an indelible part of not only ashram but of every Sai center wherever they may be. Only the language of the bhajans may be different in different countries depending on their tongues, but the feel and flavor, the spirit and fervor is the same. And this is something Bhagwan so solidly laid it down right from the very early days of his avatarhood. And today, the bhajan movement has become so widespread and popular that it has become the magnet to draw thousands to the Sai fold. In fact, other day I interviewed a Malaysian-born Chinese who came to Bhagwan because he was fascinated with Sai bhajans. In fact, so captivated was he with bhajans that he took to Carnatic music because he wanted to sing Sai bhajans properly. And interestingly, during the Chinese New Year celebrations this year in February 2013, he even performed in Sai Kulwant Hall. Other day, a Russian devotee stepped into Radio Sai Studios and said she has immensely benefited from the bhajan she listens on our bhajan stream and wanted us to publish a bhajan book which has all the bhajan sung in Prashant Nilam and also the transcripts of all the interviews that we do with bhajan singers in the program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This is the only thing that gives her peace, she says. And she actually cannot understand a word of Sanskrit or Hindi. Other day I met a person from Bali, Indonesia, who told me that he has settled down now in Prashant Nilayam. You know why? Because he wants to listen to Prashanti Mandir bhajans. He has traveled, he said, to so many holy places in the world and many sacred ashrams in India, but nothing gives him as much solace and bliss as listening to Prashanti Mandir bhajans. Bhajans have a magic that is beyond language, beyond region, beyond religion, beyond culture. The pull of bhajans is global. While this is so heartening and really an occasion to rejoice, it is also a challenge and a responsibility, because as more and more take to this sadhana, there is a risk of this becoming diluted or convoluted or maybe over time distanced from the original motive behind why Bhagwan started this spiritual practice. Therefore, I thought it would be a good idea at this point to discuss about these issues, maybe go back to the fundamentals and ask ourselves, why should we sing? Why not any other spiritual practice? Why not meditation? Why not yoga? And if we have to do this, can I not have my way of doing this? Can I not sing the way I want? Do I have to conform to a particular procedure? After all, it's between God and me. Okay, if I have to follow a particular procedure, then tell me, what are the do's and don'ts? What should be the attitude every time I sit down to sing? Is there anything laid down? Has Bhagavan told anything about it in explicit terms? Well, these are some of the things I thought we could discuss, which could help not only us, but everyone in the Sai movement everywhere. And so, dear listeners, we are here with yet another episode of Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside. And before we move on, let's take a moment to pause and first offer our deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity to know Him, to love Him, to live with Him, to learn from Him and be touched by Him. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we relentlessly strive to live up to Your love and Your grace, Your direction and Your guidance, and be a messenger of Your message. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside. And today we discuss bhajans, the potent medium to draw the grace of the divine. And I'm really happy to share with you, dear listeners, that I have with me in the studios now two esteemed members of the Prashanti Bhajan Group, Mr. Sai Surendranath and Mr. Arvind Sai. While Sai Sir, as we endearingly call him, belongs to the earliest members of the Prashanti Bhajan Group. And Arvind Sai belongs to the latest batches of Prashanti Bhajan Group, who were fortunate to bask in the divine physical proximity of Bhagwan. Sai Sir belongs to the first batch of students who joined Bhagwan's university once it opened in 1981. And since then, after completing his bachelor's and master's in commerce on divine instructions, he joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School to teach commerce, at the same time guiding and mentoring young talents of Prashanti Bhajan Group. And Arvind Sai joined Bhagwan's University very recently, and he was extremely fortunate to witness and interact with Bhagwan at very close quarters in this last 5-6 years of Bhagwan's earthly sojourn. There are any number of occasions when Bhagwan would beckon him and ask him to sing a particular song or bhajan and give him detailed instructions as to how it has to be done. So between them there is a treasure trove of divine moments, especially concerning bhajan singing, and we hope we will gather some gems from this treasure trove today in the next 60 minutes or so and learn to sanctify our lives, immersed a little more in His love, in His music, and in His glory. So welcome Sai Sir and Arvind Sai to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
Sai Sir, as I thought about this program on bhajan singing, and as I was interacting with many Sai devotees, especially who are into bhajan singing in different Sai centers and samitis, I felt that it would be better we go back to the fundamentals, as I said, and probably discuss why at all bhajans, because I had these moments when people I saw were questioning as to why bhajans. I mean, why not any other spiritual practice? We can do meditation, we can do yoga, and there are so many spiritual ashrams which advocate a lot on meditation and different other Raja Yoga to so many things. But here was Bhagwan who stressed right from the beginning on bhajans. So sometimes this fundamental questions comes up when we say we are a spiritual organization. Why bhajans?
Sai Ram Bishu, I'm really happy to be here to share some of my thoughts. As a student, the same question used to come to my mind. Luckily, it was Swami's blessings and Swami's grace. Being the first batch and being part of the bhajan group, we used to have a very good interaction with Swami, and Swami used to tell us how it has to be, conducted, mm-hmm. and why we sing. In such situation, Swami was asking, what do you think about Namasmarana? Why Namasmarana? In Kali age, Swami said, Namasmarana or this singing of bhajan is the simplest way and the easiest path for self-realization or reach God. One day Swami was telling, there are four yugas: Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. In these four yugas, each yuga has got a process of self-realization. For example, Swami said, in Satyoga, meditation. Treta Yuga, it is yajna or sacrifices. And Dwapara, worships, rituals and all that. And when it comes to Kali age, Swami said the simplest way is Sankirtana, Nama Sankirtana. Actually, if you see, God also got that foresight, that God knows that the concentration towards divine will become very small or less, and in Kali age people may not able to give that much of attention like the previous yuga. God has given lot of concession.
This is a very complicated age.
Complicated age,
and God has made it simpler for us,
very simpler for us. But the worst part is, even if God made simpler, still we find it very difficult to comply with it.
Exactly.
So if you see, in Kali age, Namasmarana, when Swami was telling, why it is important and why everybody should practice that. One day one gentleman in the interview room asked, Swami, why do you catch people young and want them to be in the spiritual path? Swami said, spirituality should start at young age. When you put a sapling, small sapling, if you ought to protect it, and if the sapling grows straight and becomes a plant and a tree, then it becomes strong.
Yes.
Same way, Swami says, in this Kali age, lot of distractions are there. So we must see to it that we have to guide this young mind, channelize their energies into the right way, so that when they grow big, they become strong, not only physically, mentally, and they can able to face the world in the right way. So that is why Swami said spirituality should start at young age.
Yes.
And the simplest way, you cannot tell at a small boy to do meditation for 15 minutes, this and that. But singing,
yes,
is such an easy way.
Absolutely.
Very simple it is. But, you just have to listen and then follow. So this easy and the simplest way, Swami said, if you can do singing or thinking of God, that is part of bhajan, which we have to come together, put our heart and soul and our feeling, and then when you focus on that, automatically there is peace, there is happiness, good environment, the surroundings are very happy.
In fact, as you mentioned this, what comes to my mind is my days in the Balvikas. You know, we used to go to Balvikas because we want to learn new bhajans, we want to learn new stotrams. You know, there used to be students who are studying in Bhagwan's institutions who used to conduct classes in their vacations. And for us, we used to look forward to those classes because, you know, they have come from Prashanthi Nilayam and they will teach us new bhajans, they will teach us new carols and they will teach us new songs. As you mentioned, for a young mind who is easily definitely fascinated with music, it was a way of channelizing that energy.
That's all. Once when you are in the right direction, then everything is taken care. That is why bhajan is very important. And here Swami said, bhajan, once he said, even in many discourses Swami has mentioned, tongue is like a post,
mm-hmm,
and bhajan is like a rope.
Mm-hmm.
Through this tongue, you sing the glory of God, and then tie him with the rope of love, and he is always with you. He cannot escape. So the easiest way to attract God or to keep God with you is only through this love.
You can bind the Lord.
Bind the Lord. So therefore, this easiest path, but though it is easy, we find it very difficult. Many people question why bhajans, why we should sing bhajan, what is the importance of this bhajan, why do we have to waste time in these things. And I think they need to get more insight in these areas.
Actually, Swami, in one of the discourses when I was hearing,
mm-hmm, yes, I've been, sir,
as sir said, predominantly bhajan and sankirtanam is basically for each individual, it is to earn the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
When Swami says that, you know, saints and sages, they have offered everything throughout their life, they have been singing Lord's name just to understand and get the feel of it. At the end, Swami says, what they had is, you can say a saint like Tyagaraja has reached the pinnacle is when he shed tears of joy just by singing.
Yes.
And if we observe, each of the Prashanthi Mandir Bhajan group members, in more than one occasion, we all have shed tears of joy just by singing bhajan. And when somebody asks, why did you cry here? It just comes out. It just, that feeling which is deep inside, just to whatever we want to share with God, whatever we want to converse with God, it just comes out in the form of a... So, what they have reached is they continue to be in that frequency of being one with God.
All
what we have seen...
All the time.
Yeah, exactly. And what we have got is a glimpse.
Yes.
They have strived all through their life just to have that glimpse.
Yes.
But for us, without any effort, God has given the glimpse. Now it is up to us whether to be in that frequency or come down, again go fluctuation. It's like a,
yes,
business cycle.
In fact, because He has given us that taste, we always long for it.
Exactly. If somebody wants, I just want to go back to that day where I shed tears of joy and I could really forget myself and be with Swami. Because when I heard you long back in one of your interviews with somebody, You said it is just to forget bhajan, and you forget in such a way that actually the words just flow in.
Yes.
So in that way, if you see, when we are doing bhajan, it is not only you are benefiting, you are actually taking along whole group. Everybody is, you are being an instrument in carrying out many people's feelings, emotions to Lord directly. Wonderful. So the responsibility of each and every, whether it is Prashanti Mandir Bhajan Group or any Sai community, Sai center across the world, is high responsibility we have in carrying this and taking it forward, so that everybody are able to reach that frequency and enjoy the bhajan bliss.
Wonderful. In fact, as Arvind sir, you mentioned about this collective singing. You know, you started off by saying how Swami gave us that taste of being one with the divine through music. But you didn't stop with that. You know, you went on to say how Swami wanted that it has to be a collective singing.
Exactly.
Now, this is something, though we all take it for granted, but at the same time, I don't know how many of us really understand that. And there are people who even question this. I mean, why collective singing? I can always sit in my home and sing. Why do I have to go to the Sai center and sing?
Indeed, Swami tells beautifully, Samyak Kirtanam Sankirtanam. Mm-hmm. Kirtanam means individual singing, wherein an individual has whatever wishes or desires, he is actually praying, God, please give me this, please give me that. But Sankirtanam, Samyak Sankirtanam, is nothing but collectively when you pray, it is actually reaching to the whole universe. So, Swami always mentions that there are four types of Sankirtanam, Guna Sankirtanam, Leela Sankirtanam, Bhava Sankirtanam, and then Swami says Nama Sankirtanam. Guna Sankirtanam is actually you sing the attributes of God, mm-hmm, and you be one with Him. That is, Swami says, you know, Tyagaraja was one example for that, mm-hmm, wherein he said, you and me are one and the same. So what is the difference? So he extolled God in that form. Leela Ganam is what Swami says, Jayadeva, wherein he actually sings the glory of God, Mahimas. And then Bhava Sankirtanam, Swami always takes two examples, Radha and Meera.
Yes.
Swami says they were so pure that Radha with her devotion has actually shown to the whole world five attributes. One is Shantam, that is peace within. Mm-hmm. And one is Sakyam, how to be friendly with God. Mm-hmm. And one is Vatsalyam, that is
child, mother and child.
Yeah, exactly. The mother and child kind of a relationship. You build with God, imagine that kind of a feeling. One is Anuragam, that is affection you build towards God. And finally, Swami tells Madhuram. You enjoy the sweetness.
So Radha Bhakti had all these elements.
Yeah, all these elements inbuilt. That way somebody says any story about Radha, people start shedding their tears.
Yes.
Imagine somebody telling about a devotee, you shed tears. Imagine the power of God then. And finally, Swami tells the example of Nama Sankirtanam. He tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Swami doesn't stop there. Swami says, in Prashanti Nilayam, you experience all the four, wherein each yuga, as sir said, in Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Satya Yuga, they have one aspect. But in Kali Yuga, in Prashanti Nilayam, we experience all the four in one.
Oh my God, that is really beautiful. And I think we don't even realize that we are experiencing this.
Exactly.
Because we are part of it.
Yes.
We don't sit back and think about it. It becomes a natural process. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of Swami netting everything together. One day, in an interview room, Swami was asking, Swami, why Namasmarana, that we have to think of God all the time? And the Swami wanted to give an example to the students, and Swami said, I'll tell you a story. Mm-hmm. And he said, one villager wanted to meet his relatives in the next village, and he needs to cross a thick jungle. And it will take a lot of time to cross the jungle. So he has taken a Petromax light along with him, and he was going halfway through, it became dark, and he lit the Petromax, and to his utter surprise, he found only 10 feet. Light was there, extended to only 10 feet. After that, pitch dark.
Hmm.
So he sat down, collapsed, started crying. So the other guy who was walking by, and he said, what's happening to you? Why, what is disturbing you? Then he said, no, I need to cross this jungle. I have to reach the other end. But whereas the light which I am having, it is giving only 10 feet. And after that, there is no light. And I am worried, how will I do? Then that guy said, why you have to, it's a simple thing. Carry the Petromax light along with you. For every step that you put, there is one step light ahead of you. So it shows you the path.
Exactly.
It clears all your the darkness and the doubt, and then you reach your destination. Swami said, Namasmarana is such. Where when you keep on thinking of God, chanting or singing, but everything that you do, every step is getting cleared, and your way, your path is illuminated, and you reach your goal safely. So that is why Swami said, bhajans, very important. It should become parcel and parcel of your system. Why?
Because in fact, in your spiritual journey, it constantly guides you and lightens your path.
Yes.
And I think that is an experience of everyone who has been at least a part of Sai Bhajans, and especially in Prashantinilam. And the other thing that comes to my mind once Swami said is he compared the bhajan singing to the lamp that we put in the home on the threshold. Swami says that the lamp which you place on the door, it gives light to the darkness inside the house and to the darkness outside the house.
Yes.
So within and without, it purifies and it enlightens. And I think that is one experience of, I think every bhajan singer can vouchsafe this fact that how after they have started singing, it has actually refined their personalities.
If you observe, like in Swami's life also, each decade you take from 1940 to 1950, 60, 70, each and every devotee finally comes up saying, Swami loves bhajans. Whether you ask 1950s Vijayamma Garu, 1960s Padma Kasturi Garu, 1970s students, and currently at this stage also.
Yes.
Every stage, I think Sai sir will agree, even after any program, any big program, any big personality, even the Prime Minister, President, Swami will have at least 2 to 3 bhajans.
And then Aarti.
Then Aarti. Such is the importance. And when Swami finishes discourse, you can observe people coming out and talking. Oh my God, I got the answer. In the same way, this happens for bhajans. When bhajans get over, people come, this bhajan was good, that bhajan was good. Only 2 things happen simultaneously. Imagine the discourse power and the bhajan power on par with same.
Yes.
Every day, that's why Swami encourages each and every bhajan singer to sing properly so that each and every devotee benefits from whichever part of the world they came. All the way they spent so much money, and to be here and to experience the joy is something superb, and you know.
Swami also said that one day when we are all discussing this community singing, you are talking about that. Akhanda Bhajan, he said when you are doing Akhanda Bhajan, why we are doing 12 hours or 24 hours? Swami said when you are doing Akhanda Bhajan continuously and collectively, the vibrations that it creates is so much, tremendous, that you cannot see, but you feel it, and slowly it engulfs the entire place.
Mm-hmm.
There is serenity.
Mm-hmm.
There is peacefulness. I would like to give an example. Suddenly when you enter a temple, you are on the roads, lots of confusion, traffic, all that goes on. The moment you enter the sanctorium temple, there is peace. There is happiness.
Exactly.
When you see the deity, there is calmness in mind. You feel light. You feel elated. You feel very peaceful. You want to remain calm in that place. What happens? What is the big deal? What is the big difference outside the temple and inside the temple? That inside the temple, when the pujari priest is praying, there is positive vibrations. And these positive vibrations engulf full. So when you are entering into that orbit, you become part of that.
Exactly.
So that is what Swami wants. That is why, Aravind, when you said, at the end of the bhajan, everybody feels happy about it. And every time Swami wants at least one or two bhajans before winding up the program, it's precisely to create that atmosphere.
Ambience.
Where to unite everybody's mind at one focal point.
Exactly.
You may have trouble. One guy wants money. Another guy wants power. Another guy wants to be cured. Another guy wants a seat. You know, there is diverse opinion and feelings in the minds. But when you are singing loudly and together, what happens? The focal point, and therefore you forget what you want and you just focus on God.
Exactly.
And then your prayers are answered.
Yes.
Automatically it is answered. That is why it is easy to break one twig.
Exactly.
Dry twig, it's easy to break. But try to have 10 in your hand and same dry twig and try, you cannot break it. Okay. That is why Swami says, unity leads to purity and purity leads to divinity. Unity, when it will come? Only in community. That is gathering, big gathering. You see thousands of people sitting in Kulwant Hall, both men and women. When they are sitting, different nationalities, culture, caste, creed, color. But when they are sitting in Kulwant Hall, there is this difference of opinion is never there. They all feel we are all children of God, children of Sai.
In fact, as you mentioned this aspect of focus, collective focus, I am really reminded of what Professor Venkataraman once mentioned, and he beautifully put it. He said, you take the case of a gas laser. What is laser ultimately? There is a famous carbon dioxide laser. A gas laser is basically a tube light. Generally, a tube light has gas in it, and when you pass that electrical voltage into it, the different atoms and molecules which emit light, or in scientific terms you might call them electromagnetic radiation. Now trillions of such molecules, they emit light. But once an electrical voltage is passed through them, what happens? Three things happen. First, all of them emit the light together. Now all the molecules, secondly, they emit at the same frequency. And thirdly, they emit light in the same direction. That is the power of laser. What was disturbance?
Focus.
Now it has become coherent.
Exactly.
And the power of coherence is so much that, you know, we have seen how a gas laser, for example, can drill through 10 centimeters of steel. I mean, that is in physical terms, and I think that is what we see in the metaphysical terms in bhajan singing.
Exactly.
The purification that happens within each individual and in the atmosphere. I mean, in fact, Swami used to say that when you do these bhajans, these vibrations actually carry on. And they envelop not just the Sai Kulwant Hall or Prashanthinilam, they are into the atmosphere. We really do not know. I think probably more research has to be done to see how it is actually reducing the pollutants in the air.
Exactly.
Probably we do not know, but Swami so emphatically said that it will reduce air pollution. These things can actually change the quality of the environment we live.
I can support your this thing technically also.
Mm-hmm.
When I was studying in Vrindavan,
mm-hmm.
Frank Baranowski,
yes,
just gentleman only invented that Krillian photographic.
Yes.
He when he came and saw Swami, suddenly he started shouting from the gathering, saying that, oh, see the aura, see the aura.
So you were there when Frank Baranowski came?
Yes, I was a student there, I was studying.
Oh, wonderful.
There.
We have only read about it.
So he was very excited. Then later on, some sevadals went and asked, what's happening? Then he said, see, the gentleman who is standing there, the light that is emanating from his body, usually for every person, 1 feet, 2, 5, like that. But pink is symbolic of love, and it is just engulfing everybody who is standing there, including me. And there is no end. It just goes beyond. There is no end to it. So this gentleman gave a talk later in the college auditorium. We invited him. And he had one instrument. And he wanted to show how that aura, what we cannot see in physical eye, he can demonstrate with that simple instrument, like a pendulum. He called one of the boy and he said, you stand here And then he says, you people cannot see what comes out of his body. But this instrument will show you what is that coming out of this boy's body and what is the distance that it is covering. And he was holding the pendulum, and the pendulum was going this way. And finally, after 2 feet, it stopped. Then he said, close your eyes. Think of whomever you love. You think of that person and then concentrate on him. So obviously, boys love Swami. So they started thinking of Swami, closed his eyes, thinking of Swami. The next few seconds, it started moving another 2 feet.
And then it stopped.
And then he asked him, what were you thinking? He said, I was thinking of Swami and was just focusing my mind on Swami. And that I love him. He's my God. He's my Guru. So he said, see, that love, only through your thoughts, it is able to move little more. If one person can move, what I am trying to say now is, if one boy can move the pendulum another 2 feet.
2 feet.
Imagine in Kulwant Hall, thousands are sitting and all of us together, ignorant of what's happening, just look at Swami and with all your love and concentrating on Swami and with great joy and enthusiasm, and you participate in singing bhajan. When you're singing bhajan there, you are not thinking of tala, raga, bhava, nothing. You just see God and then you just sing loudly. You can imagine how much of vibration that it will create, how much of, that atmosphere. It is purifying the atmosphere. It's a cleansing process. It just goes on.
Exactly.
That is why after arati, whatever may be your turmoil, your state of mind before bhajan, it is totally changed.
Exactly.
And you go peaceful with a smile on your face. That is what attracts many people for the Sai bhajans.
Awesome.
That is the uniqueness of Sai bhajan. But we do it mechanically. But mechanically, spiritually also something is happening.
Mechanically also you do it, there is so much benefit.
Benefit.
If you do it with all your heart.
All your heart.
Imagine
and,
the
and if you can really then focus on that, I tell you, there will be a great...
Every day if you do mechanically, actually that mechanically you are able to do because spiritually you got elevated inside.
Yes.
Wonderful. Like, no wonder. I mean, Swami laid so much emphasis to it and he started his mission with this. In fact, I remember reading Sathya Sai Speaks when Swami started the first bhajan, Manasa Bhajare Gurucharanam, sitting in the garden of Anjaneyalu when he was just barely 14 years old. People came and started offering fruits and flowers, and Swami said, I do not want these flowers and fruits which are not genuinely yours, which you have just paid some money and got from the market. I want something which is truly yours, and that is, I want the fragrance of your virtue and your innocence and your tears washed with repentance.
Exactly.
That is what Bhagwan wanted. And I think it is started from there. In fact, sometimes I feel, why are we even discussing this? Because it is so clear. Exactly. He started his mission with that.
And the first line also says, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam. So, oh mind, contemplate on that, Lord's. See, the whole mission is concentrating on bhajans only, actually. If you see, it started off with that.
Absolutely.
So I think more and more, when you seriously think on this, and the way Swami emphasized, and the way Swami was training boys,
yes.
And Swami says that when you sing, as our Aravind brother said, you elevate.
Yes.
I think that is why a singer can sometimes become sinner also.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes a singer can lift the souls along with him to elevate to that level.
A singer can become a saint or a sinner?
Yes, precisely. He can be a saint or he can be a sinner.
I just remembered one thing. Once Swami called 3-4 boys inside interview room, and then Swami asked one of the boys, hey, are you a singer or a sinner?
Mm-hmm.
The boy thought he is not genuinely a singer. He felt, okay, because what I sing every day, nothing like it. So he told Swami, I am a sinner. Then Swami said, if you start thinking every day that you are a sinner,
don't sing at all. I want to make you elevate and want to make a singer, but still you want to be in your own thing, like I want to be a sinner. Always think singer, 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 because the responsibility of a singer is much more than what you think.
Like Sai sir, if you can explain this a little more, how a singer can become a saint or a sinner?
In my own way, I was just thinking, when you sit in a cab, you have a driver.
Yes.
You rely upon him. You sit in a bus, 40 or 50 people sit. You rely upon one driver.
Yes.
You go into a train, 400 people sit. You rely upon one engine driver. You sit in a plane, 200 to 300 people sit. You rely upon a pilot. But all the time, there is one guy who carries you, takes you, transports you from one place to another safely. Bhajan session is also transporting a group of people behind you. This man is carrying all these people behind you towards God to reach his lotus feet. Self-realization, spiritual sadhana. So therefore, if he is able to do the job perfectly, he can automatically become saint.
Oh,
but one more important thing. If you want to become saint, you should not even think that I am carrying with me. The moment you feel that I am taking everybody along with me, which means your ego comes there. Ego comes. The moment your ego comes, and the moment you feel you are very important, and the pride takes over, then you are undoing everything. So therefore, you must do your duty. When you think, some of our boys when they sing, everybody forgets.
Exactly.
Themselves. They forget the surroundings. They even forget who is singing also. They just immerse themselves in the tune, the style, that raga, or the song, the meaning, and then they get connected directly with God.
Exactly.
They bypass this singer. They get connected. So a singer should do that job. The main singer should do the job. He should be the link between a devotee and a God. He should directly link, not through him.
Yes.
Then he becomes a saint. The moment he feels that I am doing that, he has to faint.
Yes.
One day in his life.
Yes.
Okay.
Saint has to faint.
Faint. Now, when he becomes a sinner, if you concentrate like a professional singer, not for the sake of, rendering bhajan, but you feel, I want to show off with extra touch. I want to show that the style of...
my extra talent.
My talent.
In giving a particular gamak.
Yes, gamak. And when you concentrate this way, you cannot expect all the people, innocent people sitting behind you, to reach that level of talent.
Exactly.
Because this is not a teaching session. They are not coming here to sit and learn.
Or appreciate music.
Appreciate music.
Exactly.
So appreciate music means you alone sing and we will clap. But here you are alone not singing. You want us to follow.
Exactly.
So which means you have to come to our level.
Exactly.
And raise to your level.
Exactly. Yes. Even that's what Swami has done throughout his life.
Yes.
Wherein... In 1950s, 60s, he has composed such beautiful composition on par with the Carnatic music of then, those times.
Yes.
If you see 1990s, 2000 discourse, it is not that he cannot speak the language of 1950. It's almost like a Deva Bhasha.
Yes.
God can understand God's language. But he has come down to our level to explain what is what in our day-to-day life.
Yes.
So if God can come down so far for you to experience a joy... What we are actually.
In fact,
we are just an instrumental.
Swami gives that example of an IAS officer who goes to his home and he takes this slate and start writing ABC to teach his little son. But Swami said, doesn't mean that this IAS officer is now learning these alphabets. It's just that it is his Himalayan humility.
Exactly.
He's come down so that he can teach his younger one. I think that is what we saw with Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, this singer and the saint, sinner, I mean, just reflecting on that, how damaging it can be, just like a pilot, if he's not concentrating on the work that he has to do and he's thinking all about himself.
It'll be crash landing.
It'll be crash landing.
That's what happens. See what happens, everybody, the previous bhajan, imagine you sung. Okay, we followed, we enjoyed your bhajan. You finished your, the next guy started. And he is not going to do justice. So something happens. The momentum which was carried on for 15 or 20 minutes, totally disturbed by the next singer.
The train is derailed.
Totally, that serenity is gone. The frequencies get disturbed. Yes. Just because somebody comes in between and doesn't maintain that status quo. Doesn't maintain the frequency. If you're going to increase the frequency, it's very good. But you should not come down. That is why Swami also says, pick up simple bhajans which everybody can follow.
Exactly.
And sing in a simple way. And don't make it complicated. And sing with feeling. And love what you are doing. And see that you share with
everybody.
In fact,
everybody. That is what we saw with Swami's bhajans.
Exactly. Yeah. See, everybody enjoys Swami bhajan. Tell me where Swami gives so much of turnings in his...
Technicalities?
There are no technicalities.
That's what.
But that punch is there. That speed is there. That zeal is there. That enthusiasm is there. So everybody joins and claps. When Swami sings, you see the amount of people clapping.
Exactly.
Swami always wants everybody to clap. And Swami one day said, why you must clap? There is a reason for clapping. He says, if there is a lot of crows on a tree, if you want to shoo away, the best thing is what? You clap. So when you clap,
all of them fly.
At one shot. One clap will do it. Everything flies away. Swami say, in our system also, in our mind, so many things, disturbances are there.
Exactly.
So if you clap loudly and sing, there is relief.
I think all the limbs of the body should be fully engaged.
Engaged.
So that everything else is subdued.
Why? Tell me why. But when all the is engaged in an activity, you can focus it better.
Correct.
You can focus it better. Because your hand is clapping, you are singing loudly, you are thinking, so mind, your action, thought, word and deed, all coming together. So therefore what is happening? There is unison, there is happiness, and you enjoy doing it. So that is why Swami says you must clap loudly. And when you clap, there is, you know, why do we clap? We are always, when something goes, you are giving a present. Clapping is a sign of
appreciation.
Appreciation. There. Correct? So here when you clap seeing the glory of God. You clap. God, you are great. God, you have done that. God, you have established this. You understand?
Exactly.
So what happens? You have to extol yourself and pep up yourself and raise up to God's level. That is why once beautifully said, prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is, God is not waiting for you. Prayer is for you. God doesn't wait for your prayer. Somebody was asking, why we need to sing bhajan, sir? If we sing bhajan, Baba will feel happy. Swami will feel very happy. Swami is always happy.
You don't have to sing bhajan so that Swami is happy.
In fact, you sing bhajan and Swami will feel upset if you don't sing properly. So, the idea here is, you must make yourself happy. See, that is why everybody wants, even though I am not a good singer, hey, can you give me a chance? Can you give me a chance? I ask, why? Because I will feel happy if I sing for God.
Yes.
So you are not telling that God will feel happy. I will feel happy if you give me a chance.
Exactly.
But you must deserve that.
Yes.
A few things we can learn. When singing is one activity, if you think.
Yes.
But to sing that song perfectly or a bhajan perfectly, there's so many things attached to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
If a singer goes to mandir, as sir said, with a disturbed mind or anything, he cannot deliver the goods properly. Then he's actually spoiling the whole ambience.
He'll disturb everybody.
Yes. Whole ambience. And the second thing Swami tells is always have self-confidence. Confidence in you, on you, by putting the others on you. Mm. And confidence in yourself is two important things we learn in singing. If you don't have confidence in front of the mic or in front of anybody, you cannot do justification at all. You cannot get the feeling, you cannot get the ragam, you cannot get the talam, you cannot get anything. In spite of somebody pushing you 100 times, if you don't have confidence, you cannot do that. That you can learn so much over the years through singing. If you can sing one song perfectly one day, it has to do a lot with your self-confidence. That is inbuilt. Swami never tells that, hey, you have to have self-confidence for singing, self-confidence. He never tells that. He tells you just sing. These are the things which comes. They are the byproducts. Self-confidence is, singing is the product. These are the byproducts which are inbuilt, and these are the values we call it.
Wonderful. In fact, there are so many other refinements that happens to one's personality. As you mentioned, confidence is one, and I think we can go on. Every singer will have his own instances to share. Exactly. How singing has transformed him. And as sir was talking about how this focused music has this power to draw the grace of the divine, I was reminded of how Bhagwan in his discourses very sweetly explained that what you cannot achieve through a simple prayer, you can actually achieve it through music. And saints in the past have done it. In fact, I've got one clip for you, and I really would like you and all the listeners to listen to that. Let's give it 2 minutes and let's listen to this.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Andaru kuda krishnudu chorudu 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 ani pilustu vachadu kaani yesoda cheppindi nayana nindu chorudu antunnavu kaani ade chorudu anetundi padamu nivu paatalato chepte andaru talanupi aanandistaru chitta chora అని పిలుస్తుంటుంటే ఎంతనో ఆనందపడుతుంటారు. ఊరికే చోరుడు అంటే మాత్రం కోప్పడతారు. ఆ విధి కాకుండా గానంతో చేరినప్పుడు అది ఎంతో మాధుర్యంగా ఉంటుంటుంది. కనుక ప్రతి ఒక్కరూ ప్రేమతో ఏ విధంగా పిలిచినప్పటికీ భగవంతుడికి అది మాధుర్యంగానే ఉంటుంటుంది. లేకపోతే అందరూ ఎందుకు చిట్ట చోర అని పిలుస్తారు? చిట్ట చోర యశోద కే బా చేరినటువంటి గానము అందరికీ మాధుర్యంగా ఉంటుంటాడు. అటు రాగతాళం లేకుండా ఏ చోర చిత్తచోర రా అని పిలిస్తే అందరికీ కోపం వచ్చేస్తుంది. రాగతాళంతో చేరినటువంటి గానము ఎంత మాధుర్యంగా ఉంటుంటారో మీరు తప్పక యోచన చేయండి. వీరందరూ కూడాను ఇటు రాగతాళంతో చేరినటువంటి గానమునే భగవంతునికి మాధుర్యంగా అందించి వారు అతి మధురమైనటువంటి భావాన్ని పొందారు. కనుక ఈ గానం లోపల ఇంత మాధుర్యం ఉంటుండాలి. ఇట్టి గానం చేత మనం భగవంతుని ఏ విధంగానైనా పొందవచ్చును. కనుక మీరు ప్రతి ఒక్కరు కూడాను భగవంతుని పొందాలనుకుంటుంటే మాటలతో తప్ప ఏమాత్రం కూడా మీరు పొందలేరు. రాగతాళంలో కూడా చేరినప్పుడే అట్టి భగవంతుని మీరు హృదయానికి అద్దుకుంటారు. మధురమైనటువంటి యొక్క గానం చేత, మధురమైనటువంటి యొక్క పలుకుల చేత భగవంతుని మనం ఎంతైనా పొందవచ్చును. కృతయుగ త్రేతాయుగం నందు ఇట్టి గానం చేత ఎవరు కూడా పొందలేరు. వేదాలంతా కూడా ఎన్నో వర్ణిస్తూ వచ్చారు, కానీ ఈ వేదం చేత కూడాను ఎవరు భగవంతుని పొందలేరు. ఋగ్వేద యజుర్వేద సామవేద అధర్వణ వేదను కూడాను ఎంతనో పాడుతూ వచ్చారు. సామవేదమును ఎందరో బ్రాహ్మణులు చాలా వర్ణిస్తూ వచ్చారు, కానీ ఈ వేదంతో ఎన్ని విధములైనటువంటి ప్రయత్నం చేసినా భగవంతుని ఒక్కరైనా కూడాను సందర్శించిన వారు లేరు. కానీ దీనిని గానంలో జమించినప్పుడు ఎంతనో ప్రేమిస్తూ వచ్చారు. కనుక నే భగవంతుని గానలోలుడు అన్నారు, గానప్రియుడు అన్నారు. కనుక మీరు గానం చేత భగవంతుని ప్రార్థించండి. అట్టి గానం చేత దైవాన్ని ఎంతైనా మనం పొందవచ్చును. కానీ మాకు రానటువంటి వారు మా గతి ఏమిటి అని వారు వాదించవచ్చు. మీ మ్యూజిక్ లేకపోయినప్పటికీ పర్వాలేదు, ఏదో ఒక రాగంలో మీరు పెట్టి భగవంతుని ప్రేమించండి. కనుక మ్యూజిక్ అంటే ఏమిటి ప్రత్యేకంగా నేర్చుకున్నటువంటిదే కాదు. రామా నన్ను కాపాడు అని ఒక పద్యంతో చెప్తే ఏమంత మధురంగా కనిపించదు. రామా నన్ను కాపాడప్ప అని మాటలతో చెప్తే అంత మధురంగా ఉండదు. కానీ అదే ఒక రాగం వేసి రామా నన్ను కాపాడు అంటే ఎంతో మధురంగా వచ్చేసేస్తుంది. ఏ విధంగా పాడండి, ఆ మ్యూజిక్ లోపల అంత మాధుర్యం ఉంటుండాలి. కనుక భగవంతుని మనం పొందాలనుకుంటే గానం చేతనే మనం భగవంతుని పొందాలి. హృదయాన్ని అర్పితం చేసి దీంతో ఒక రాగమును కలిపి గానం చేస్తే భగవంతుడు తప్పక మీకు కనిపిస్తుంటాడు. ఏ రాగంలో మీరు పోతున్నప్పటికీ తప్పక మీకు కనిపిస్తుంటాడు. ఇటువంటి రాగమును నేర్చుకునేటువంటి వాడు ఏదో కొన్ని పాటల వల్ల పద్యాల వల్ల భగవంతుని ప్రార్థిస్తూ నిరాశకు గురి అవుతున్నారు. కానీ ఆ విధంగా డిసప్పాయింట్కి ఏమాత్రమో మీరు అవకాశం అందించకండి. ఎందుకు డిసప్పాయింట్ వస్తుంది? మొదలై నీవు అపాయం చేసుకుంటే అది డిసప్పాయింట్ వస్తుంది. నీవు మొదలై నీవు అపాయం చేసుకోవద్దు. వచ్చినప్పుడు నీకు ఏది తెలుస్తుందో దాన్ని నీవు గానంతో చెప్పు. ఇది ఏ భగవంతుని పొందడానికి సులభమైన మార్గం.
సో ఫర్ దోస్ లిసనర్స్ హూ డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ తెలుగు, లెట్ మీ సే వాట్ స్వామి వాస్ ట్రైంగ్ టు కన్వే ఇన్ దిస్ 2-3 minutes క్లిప్. ది లాస్ట్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ దట్ స్వామి గేవ్ when he sang Rama Nannu Kapadu, Swami was saying that if someone were to simply say Rama Nannu Kapadu, how different it would be if he appealed to God in the form of a music and sang it, Rama, the way Swami sang it. I can't sing it, but if you sing the same thing in terms of a musical composition suffused with feeling, it has a different impact. And that is the power of singing, and that is the power of music. As Bhagwan mentioned in this clip, all the three elements, the raga, bhava and tala, together make it such a potent combination, but the primal position goes to bhava. And in fact, other day I was speaking to one of the bhajan singers who had the chance to stay here for 5-6 years, and he was explaining to me how he understood of this concept of bhava. And he said, when you want to express anything, what you need is a language, and you should know what you want to convey. So what you want to convey, you can take that as your feeling or your bhava. And the medium through which you convey the language, that is the raga and the tala. So suppose you know what to convey, but you do not know the language, you cannot communicate. And on the other hand, if you know the language, but you do not know what to convey, what will happen is you will just speak. It will be just a blabber. Because you have so many people who speak, but you don't know what they are trying to say.
Exactly.
So it is basically cacophony.
Exactly.
So that is what happens when someone doesn't have the feeling inside. If there is no bhava, but you are great, as I was mentioning earlier, only in the technicalities of the bhajan, you have raga and tala really perfect in you, but you do not have bhava, then you may sing, but to others it may not touch. It might become just a cacophony. And I think sir probably would have seen so many instances. You would have been a personal witness to how Swami stressed on this concept of bhava.
Yeah. Whenever our boys used to sing, Swami used to teach or tell boys, there are various ways how you have to prepare yourself before you render bhajan. First one, he was telling that you must practice. You should be clear what you want to sing, which bhajan you want to sing. And at the same time, Swami was telling, when you are singing, your expressions are also very important. Many a time, I know, when some boys, when they sing, Swami used to look at me and see his face, he used to tell. That boy will close his eyes and he wants to sing, very honestly, he was singing, but when whatever that he wants to sing, it is there in his mind. When you see his face, he wants to do something and he wants to deliver something which he feels that he is doing, out of which his facial expressions becomes very odd. Touching a note or giving some turning here and there. So he feels that by concentrating on his face, you can make out, he's training himself to do that. But Swami says, if you really involve yourself on the line, meaning of that word, and if you know the tune, automatically that bhava, that feeling will come. But you are not concentrating on that part, but you are concentrating on the professional rending part.
Exactly.
How best I want to, what extra touch I can do so that, people behind
in
me.
In fact, that is what you see in professional concerts and artists, their whole body will be moving in so many ways. If there is hair, the hair will be swinging from one side to other, and, it's part of that whole performance.
Yeah.
But bhajan, unfortunately or fortunately, is not a performance.
But still, people do that. But even in professional singing also, Swami has mentioned, Swami has got great regard for M.S. Subbalakshmi.
Hmm.
M.S. Subbalakshmi, when she sings, she's just calm.
She's like a saint.
That's all it is. High pitch or low pitch or middle range, she involves herself. She closes her eyes. I don't think I saw her performing here in Kulwant Hall and in our Purchandra Hall many a time. Though she is seeing audience, I feel she is not focusing on audience. She is just, the eyes are only towards the audience, but I know that whatever that she is singing, she is visualizing in front of her. That part is called bhava. That is why whenever such people sing, people who are hearing, they also get involved, emotionally moved, they tend to cry, everything happens to them. Though they are not singing, but that feeling is carried along with them. I think that is the most important thing for bhajan singers, that you must involve in singing. You must put all your feelings rather than technical things. So bhava is a must.
2 weeks back, one of the elderly persons, I went to their home, and he was in the early morning, it was, and he was watching Vijaya TV.
Mm-hmm.
He was watching one of the concerts. Then he said, "How is this singer?" I said, "Sir, they are all great. Why you are asking me?" Then he said, "No, actually, because in Tamil literature, there is one of the person who has written from the Upanishads also. It is there. It seems that what all gestures, what if your eye winks a little more than what is expected. All that, such nuances they have given, what a singer should have, what all qualities a singer should have."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he's a 73-year-old man, he said in his whole life till now, he has seen only MS fitting into that kind of a.
Oh,
he said,
God.
In his literature, he read in the literature somewhere that MS has actually read that literature and then followed. That's why when sir says that expression is so important, Swami had such a great regard for M.L. Subbalakshmi Garu. It's because everything, if you say in reality she followed everything, physically, spiritually, mentally, she has actually observed God. She has followed, physically if you wanted her to read that book, she has done it. Mentally she has approached God. Spiritually she is with God.
Wonderful. This is really fantastic. In a sense that when Bhagwan used to say, "Why is this person making this kind of face when he's singing?" And you will think that, he's expressing himself. Why is
and
in your mind?
Swami also told you, if somebody tells you, you will feel upset. You will feel very bad. And Swami gave a solution, simple solution. Swami said, sit in front of a mirror.
Mirror, exactly.
Open your eyes and you sing the same way and see your own expression. You will know what you are doing and you correct yourself. That's the best way. Why you want to invite comments from outside.
Exactly.
So you yourself can rectify these small things. Okay? So when really if you see, Swami puts in very simple way, highest philosophy in the simplest manner.
Exactly. In fact, what came to me is that Swami is that scripture. We say Swami is the Veda, Swami is the scripture. He doesn't, whatever he says is what is there in the scriptures. I mean, he is the authority.
With any, means, I always feel that if you learn under any greatest musician, still he won't be able to touch all these things when you are singing in front of him. He is just bothered about how you deliver, what kind of a tonal quality you have got. Okay, here and there.
Yes.
The vocabulary, the pronunciation, all that.
Yes.
But who will go such deep like, hey, your expression, if you change, people will appreciate. Who will have that concern? After all, he is giving the feeling to sing.
Yes.
But still, that has to be perfect.
Yes. I think that feeling, and that too, an external person probably can correct your tonal quality or he will know your technicalities, but who can know your heart and know whether you're actually singing
exactly
with the right attitude?
He wants you to be beautiful even when you're singing.
Yes. Fantastic.
Because one thing, if you observe all the students, all of us, when we joined,
We just have a feeling that, Swami, I want to sing once in front of you. There are no technical details. How many of us are like from pure Carnatic background or Hindustani background? Nothing. We just came, we just had a feeling that, Swami, I want to offer one bhajan to you. And Swami fulfilled it. Later, he automatically it comes like you have to learn certain things.
Yes.
To get that feeling out properly.
Yes.
So, that first I feel that feeling.
Feeling is there.
Just that spark of feeling. Swami, I want to do something for you. Itself will
it
actually,
starts.
It's like a seed and it becomes a tree.
Yes. It so, starts from there.
Yeah.
It starts from there.
Yeah. Right. Fantastic. I think, and what you said is perhaps the journey of every singer. You know, Swami, give me one chance. It'll start with that. And then to sustain that, then you learn about raga and tala.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what other day when I was speaking to another bhajan singer, he said that Swami has very clearly said, you know, you practice all your raga and tala in your hostel, in your home. But when you come to singing, there you should forget about all this. I mean, those things should have become a part of you.
Yeah.
You should have practiced the bhajan so much that you don't have to try to recollect the lines of the bhajan or you have to try to recollect the raga or what beat or how or the tune. You should only concentrate on the feeling. Only then it becomes an offering.
Once I shared actually this experience in Radio Sai, that I always used to write Swami a letter. Every day I used to give him in 2004. Swami, I want to sing one bhajan in front of you. One bhajan. Only that letter consists of only these few lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother used to sing, I used to get a feeling that Swami, I want to see what is that kind of a interaction or whatever. You know, you won't imagine. In 2004, Swami fulfilled my dream by giving only once. Only once I sang it. After that, the second bhajan means the feeling is there. What I'm telling is technical is very important for Swami because feeling is there, he gave.
Yes.
But I have to improve.
Improve.
And the second bhajan, I sang after 3 years. That is in 2007. All these 3 years, churning went and every single day, I used to practice.
Yes.
Practice, practice, practice. Because every single program boys do in Mandir, whether it's a music program or a drama or a skit, Swami will ask, did you practice and come? Sir will elaborate more on it.
That is because many boys go and approach Swami and the same thing. Just like what you said, your feeling you see, Swami appreciates your feeling.
Exactly.
Swami also appreciates
others' feelings.
Others' feelings too. So Swami is in a very tight corner.
Exactly.
So if Swami satisfies your feeling, what about the feeling of 1,000 sitting there?
Exactly.
If Swami satisfies 1,000 feeling, your feeling is shattered. So Swami has to compromise.
Exactly.
He's a divine master. He knows how to play the game. Yes. He will give you and make you feel your own feeling, whether you feel the right feel or not.
Exactly.
And whether what you felt other people are feeling or not. Whether everything is in the right. So immediately you yourself will know that I am not matching.
Exactly.
But once when you taste that importance, that singing in front of Swami, then you want to match that level.
Exactly.
Then immediately that intensity in practice, I must do better, that comes. Once when that comes, now I am sure, Arvind, you are not concentrating on practicing or anything.
Exactly.
Because that becomes part of your system. All that you need to do now is what? Which bhajan? On which God, or which raga, or which style. You know, that is what you decide. And then once when the Shruti is given, you are into it.
Exactly.
You're just part of it. But just go back on the first day, and now you see, that is the beauty of God.
All this churning, what we are thinking that, oh my God, I didn't get a chance. If always I feel, if I had got a chance to sing regularly from 2004, I don't think so I would have been a better human being. In the sense, those 3 years, every single day, because I pined for it, I know the value of each bhajan session I attend today.
Yes.
Because it means a lot. It means a lot because, as I said, practice, once we are about to put a Burakada show, and Swami said suddenly, hey, did you practice? Because 10,000 people, as sir said, 10,000 people are hearing you, from their ears, blood should not come. So, did you practice? Otherwise, Swami said, tomorrow we'll put. You practiced well, are you confident? That is the kind of attention he gives for every single program which we put up. Nothing happens just like that.
Yes.
Feeling, as sir said, is important. Feeling with technicality is also very important to satisfy everybody.
One day, One boy was not doing justice while singing. Swami told him, you practice and sing, practice and sing. But he was not paying that much of attention. He was taking things in a very casual manner. Then one day Swami very seriously said, do you know why thousands are sitting and when you are singing? He kept quiet. He didn't know. He didn't know what to say. Then Swami paused for a while and said, because I am sitting here, people are sitting there. Don't think because you are singing here,
exactly,
people are sitting behind you. People are not sitting behind you because you are singing.
Exactly.
They are sitting because I am sitting here.
Exactly.
So the opportunity is given to you, whether you match the opportunity or not. Otherwise, on another occasion, Swami told one more boy, great singers, they come in darshan line,
yes,
and sitting there, and they are qualified and professional singers. They are sitting there quietly. I give you chance, and you are singing just like that, and you don't have any technical knowledge or anything. Just my love that I am giving you, and your love that you want to sing for me. That is a relationship between God and a devotee. So you wanted to sing, and I give the opportunity, and you are singing. Now imagine, technically if anybody asks, you will not match.
Exactly.
But if I call a devotee and ask him, how is this boy singing? Do you know what is the answer that the devotee says? Swami, chala baga padadu Swami. Why? Why even if you don't do justice, even a professional comes and says, this boy did extremely fantastic job. That is because your love for me,
exactly,
and my love for you camouflages everything.
Exactly.
Correct?
Wonderful.
Everything is covered and everything is in same state of mind. Even the professional doesn't feel that he is superior. In fact, you are nobody and you are nothing. He feels he did a great job, Swami.
Exactly.
That is because that love that God gives, the opportunity that God gives, and you should not miss that opportunity. And now, for all the listeners, everybody, it is not just where physically Swami is there and our boys are doing. No. Remember, Swami is everywhere.
Exactly.
Swami is like your breath. You cannot say Swami is in Parthi and Swami is somewhere else. Swami is everywhere. But all that what Swami wants is your love, your feeling. You render this in a way Swami wants.
Exactly.
You enjoy what you are doing and you sing His glory. And that's the easiest way for self-realization. That is the bond that will be very firmly attached between you,
yes,
and God. This, you must attend bhajan sessions, you must go to different centers, you must participate in bhajans, and don't think about quality of singing. Even though you cannot sing properly, at least be
join.
Part of the group.
Yes.
Join.
Yes.
That is enough. Maybe singing, you will improve one day, yes, and then you will reach that level.
Exactly. Wonderful. As you mentioned this, you know, this thought comes to me that if Swami wanted, he could have had really very, very celebrated musicians come and sing here bhajans every single day. He didn't do that.
Exactly.
I mean, they pined for chances once a year, twice a year. You know, even that was very difficult. But he had his boys sing every day, his students sing every day. I think it was only because of this aspect of love. Because he wanted the love to sprout in the hearts of all the boys, and how this bhajan should become a sadhana of learning to love God and to transform yourself once you have learned to love God.
Exactly.
I think we should end now because already 10 o'clock, but I think one beautiful thing that comes to my mind is this is something that happened in Kodaikanal a few years ago, where for some reason Swami was upset with the boys and he was not talking to them. And when it was evening bhajan time and the boys were preparing for the bhajan session, so Swami came there and Swami asked, what are you doing? And they said, Swami, we are preparing for bhajans. Swami said, I don't want your bhajans. I don't even want your devotion. Swami, you don't even want your devotion, then what else do you want, Swami? What can we give? Swami said, I do not want your devotion. I want transformation. I think if our bhajans do not take us on that spiritual journey where we go out of what that which is not permanent, if we cannot migrate from mundane to the spiritual, I think then we have not done justice. All our energy has been wasted, and as we all discussed, it is not only something that we have done disservice to ourselves, but to the entire community, because it is community singing.
Perfect. Wonderful. Bhajans have, as you said, brought lot of transformation.
Yes.
Many people have become Swami's devotee after yes. attending bhajans.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Many people came to know of Swami just by listening to bhajans. Okay? And this bhajan is such a powerful magnet. It's a medium through which it unites God yes. and devotee.
Absolutely.
That's why somebody asks, what do you think of God? Then everybody asks a question, what do you think of God? What do you think of God? And then one guy got up and said, God is not a think. He is a feel.
Wonderful.
He is a feel. You must feel him.
Yes.
You cannot think. You should feel. And this feeling can come only when you participate in bhajans.
Yes.
That's the simplest, easiest path in this age, which Swami has shown us. And I think all of us should make effort, in spite of our hectic routine, at least few minutes we should ruminate on this, participate in bhajan and enrich ourselves.
Wonderful, sir. God is not a think, but a feel. As Bhagwan always used to say, God is Bhava Priya, not Bahya Priya. God is one who only looks after, who is touched only by what emerges with purity from the heart. So let's end on that note. Dear listeners, we can go on discussing about this subject because there is so much that Bhagwan has elaborated on this topic of bhajan singing. There are innumerable discourses when Bhagwan has at length described how to sing and how not to sing. And in his innumerable interactions with the members of the Prashanti Bhajan group, he has delineated and demonstrated what should be our attitude and what should be our focus. We are trying to do this in our little way in the Radio Sai Bhajan classroom sessions, but we will do this in a much more comprehensive basis off and on in these sessions on Thursday nights. I hope you found this session useful. If you have missed any part of this program, you can download that from our Radio Sai website, from the Thursday Live archives. Visit radiosai.org. And now, before I pull the curtains down on this live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for writing to us. Every email that you send do inspire us, and they in fact propel us to see how we can make our offerings better to Bhagwan, because every time, whatever we do, it is to serve Bhagwan. We serve you, we serve Bhagwan. So please keep writing to us. Thank you so much for being with us. And finally, a loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam. Even as I sign off, I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. You will begin to listen to a program which was staged by Australian devotees in front of Bhagwan in February 2010. It is entitled Mother of Mine. In a few minutes from now, you will listen to this. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.